Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We had learned in our previous shiur that the Yesoid of the Mizbeach did not run around the entire perimeter of the Mizbeach, of the base of the Mizbeach. The southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, according to the source that we saw on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, did not have a Yesod. Three corners of the Mizbeach had the Yesod present there, but the fourth corner, in this case the southeastern corner, lacked Yesod. You'll notice there is a diagram of this phenomenon at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis that's printed into the Gemara itself. With that in mind, the Gemara asks, from the third line from the top of Daf Nun Dalet, Amud Aleph, Mesfei, we have a framed section. This represents a Tanaic source. In our Gemara markings, all Tanaic sources are attempted to be placed in frames to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Before we read the source itself, we want to just note that the sacrifice known as an Ola Sa'of, a bird Ola offering, the blood sprinkling, the blood application of that korban was done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, on the southeastern side. We're emphasizing the Ola Sa'of was done on the southeastern side, at the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Oilo Sa'of, Ketzad Hoiso Nasis. How was the Ola Sa'of processed? Hoya Molek Es Rosha, Mimul Orpa. The head was severed from the back of its neck, which is the standard Malika process, which is the method that birds in the Beis HaMikdash were slaughtered. Umavdil. As opposed to the Chatas Ha'of, in the case of the Olas Ha'of, the two neck simonim, the two neck pipes, are severed, the trachea and esophagus. Umimatze Domo Alkir HaMizbeach. And the blood is pressed or squished out on the side of the Mizbeach. Once again, at the southeastern corner. The Iamris lo hoya lo yesoid. If you say that there was no yesoid at the southeastern corner, then be'avira be'alma hu deka ovid. The blood is being applied to the mizbeach in midair. In other words, the blood as it drips down the side of the mizbeach after it's squished on the side, it drops down, but not onto the mizbeach. It drops down onto the ground of the azora. And just that can't be. Blood applications must remain on the altar, on the Mizbeach. So that if you claim that there's no southeastern Yesod, so that when you're doing the Mitzui Hadam on the wall of the Mizbeach, eventually that blood is just going to roll right down to the floor. As the Gemara terms it, it's being done as if it's done in midair. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchok, Emar Kachisnu. Let us say that they made the following arrangement or agreement. Avira de Binyamin, the airspace on the southeastern side of the Mizbeach, the airspace belonged to Binyamin. This is based on the Gemara that we saw at the concluding of the last shir, the very bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and the top of this Amud, where the Gemara had described the Mizbeach being positioned at the border between the tribes Yehuda and Binyamin. The Gemara mentioned that there was an amo of ground, or a strip of land, that encroached into the section of Binyamin that belonged to Yehuda. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance, we'll say, to the Beis HaMikdash from the eastern side belonged to Yehuda, and the beginning of the Azara belonged to Yehuda, up to the point that the Mizbeach was located. At that point began the Binyamin's domain. However, a strip of ground remained in Yehuda's possession, a strip of ground measuring an amo, which was the edge of the Mizbeach. So that amo, since it belonged to Yehuda and Binyamin yearned to have all of the Mizbeach in his domain, so that strip of an amo did not have any Mizbeach on it, namely the Yesod was lacking. What about the issue of the blood? So this is what the Gemara is explaining right now, that the airspace over that amo belonged to Binyamin. And the main thing here is not in the words of the Gemara at all, but Rashi fills in this extremely important missing information, and a little protrusion was attached to the Mizbeach at a height of more than 3 amos from the ground. That protrusion on the southeastern corner enabled the dam, that was the blood that was dripping down the side of the Mizbeach, not to drip down to the floor, but land on this protrusion. And the Gemara goes on to say, after saying Avira de Binyamin, the airspace of the southeastern side belonged to Binyamin, with the protrusion that was attached to Mizbeach above a height of 3 tefachim above the ground. And Karka de Yehuda, the ground belonged to Yehuda. Ground meaning that amo that was around the southeastern, the southern side and the eastern side of the Mizbeach, that was demonstrated or illustrated more as lacking Yesod, that amo belonged to Yehuda. The Gemara goes on now, looking back at what was mentioned on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Up till now, we have approached the Gemara with the illustration that was found at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis in mind, namely a Yesod that did not run around the entire perimeter of the base of the Mizbeach. However, we're now going to be exposed to another opinion on that matter. The Gemara asks, "My lo have lo Yesod?" You can see this is a Tanaic source. In effect, it's a quote from that which was seen on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates to look back to Nun Gimel Amud Beis, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Skim down the page. Try to find a parallel arrow with a Nun Dalet Amud Aleph note next to it, or under it, and you see where this quote is coming from. The Gemara is asking now, what do you mean when we say it did not have a Yesod? And of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, we had been working with an assumption that we knew what that meant. We thought that that meant what is illustrated in the picture of the Gemara at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Anyway, the Gemara goes on to say, Rav Omar Bebinyan. Rav's opinion is like we had been learning till now, that structurally there was nothing there on the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Nothing, we mean nothing by way of Yesod. However, Levi Omar Bedomim. Levi says there was a Yesod physically present. However, there was no blood that was placed on that Yesod. There is a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Memtes, in Sefer Breishis, Perek Memtes, Pasuk Chav Zayin. We've included the pasuk on the side of the Gemara. The pasuk describes, is a brocha that Yankev Avinu was giving to his sons, and in describing Binyamin, he says in his brocha, Binyamin Zev Yitroif, Baboker Yochal Ad, Vilo Erev, Yechalek Sholol. There's a Targum Unkelus, the Aramaic Hesber of Unkelus, that's printed in many, many Chumashim, that has the following Aramaic explanation that accompanies it. And when we learn Chumash, Tersha B'Ksav, we place a great deal of emphasis on how the Targum presents things. We have our version of the Targum. However, the Targum, of course, Targum Unkelus, was a piece of work that's from the Tanaic era. Unkelus was said to be a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, making him a contemporary, more or less, of Rabbi Akiva. So, we have a certain version printed in our Chumashim. However, we have to bear in mind that there may be other versions of the Targum that, as reported by Amoroyim, that were appeared in time after the Tanoim. So our version has the following. We've also included this on the side of your Gemara. It says there, Binyamin be'aro tishrei shchinta, that the divine presence will dwell in Binyamin's region. Of course, this is prophetic, because the pasuk was said to Binyamin by Yankev Avinu. Yankev Avinu was essentially saying that the divine presence in Israel will be concentrated in your section, the section of land that you will receive. Ubachsante yisbenei makdisha. This expression is going to be extremely important when we go back into our Gemara, but it means that in his inheritance there will be built the Mikdash. B'tzafro b'fanya hoin makrivin kanaya korbana, in the morning and in the afternoon the Kohana will offer sacrifices. U'be'idan ramsha yon mithalgin mosar chukahoin mishar kadshaya, and in the evening there will be a distribution of that which hasn't been distributed yet, by way of portions of sacrifices. Turning now to the Gemara. Rav explains or presents his version of the Targum of Breishis Memtes Pasuk Hosayin. Rav, let's not forget, he said that there was no structural altar in Yehuda's section. So he's mitargem ba'achsante yisbenei madbecha. In Binyamin's section, there will be the structure itself. Yisbenei, the building of the madbecha of the mizbeach. Namely, that only in Binyamin's section will there be any structural mizbeach. Namely, no structural mizbeach whatsoever in Yehuda's region. Levi mitargem ba'achsante yisbenei makdisha. Interestingly, this is the version that we have in our Chumashim. His version of the Targum is that in Binyamin's inheritance there will be yisbenei makdisha, which equals mokoim mekudosh ledamim. There will be the area sanctified for the receipt of blood in Binyamin's region and not in Yehuda's region. So when you see the expression Yisbenei Makdisha, you understand that there may have been Mizbeach physically located in Yehuda's region. There may have physically been Yisoid over there. However, that Yisoid was not licensed to receive the blood. And that conforms with Levi's approach just a couple lines before, which indicated that section of the Mizbeach in Yehuda's region was not, the expression we saw, lo havi lo yisod, that on the southeastern corner, which was Yehuda's portion, didn't have a yesod with regard to blood receipt. There may have, yes, been yesod, but no, but not with regard to receipt of blood. Before we go any further, let's take advantage of what we present in our Gemara markings. On the outside margins of most of our sukkahs, you have topic headings and structural notes. The topic headings are called nosei, and the structural notes are labeled mivne. In this case, we have a topic heading, which we'll read now for the purpose of review, which in general serves as an introduction to the sukkah. We have written in on the side, Machlikas Rav Levi Bepirush Hodikotoni. We'll see a controversy. We saw a controversy between Rav Levi in explaining that which was taught in the source on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Karen Mizrahi Doroimi Loi Hoya Lo Yesod, that the southeastern corner lacked a base. Lefi Rav Lo Hoya Sham Yesod Bonui. According to Rav, there was no Yesod built over there. Klomar Tzuras Yesod Lefi Rav Lo Hoysa Ribua. The shape of the yesod, and when you look at it from an aerial position, will not appear to be square. Well, the filevi hayesod hoya ribua. According to Levi, the yesod was a square, measuring 32 by 32 amos. As we go on in the Gemara, now we have a geometric form that we want to explain: triangles. They'll appear in two directions in the next few lines, as you can see by skimming ahead in the Gemara. Under our Mivneh heading, we explain, with the point facing up, Kusha al Levi. This will be a challenge to Levi's position. And with the point facing down, those will be Kushios al Rav, challenges to Rav's position. Toshma, back in the Gemara. Hayesoid hoya mehalech al pnei kol hatzofon. The yesod of the mizbeach ran along the entire northern side of the altar, v'al pnei kol hamarov, and it ran along the entire western side of the mizbeach. Oichel bedorom amo, encroaching onto the southern side, a mere one amo, amo achas, uvemizroch amo achas, and encroaching onto the eastern side, also a mere one amo. From this, it's very clear that the yesod ran around only two complete sides of the mizbeach and one more on each of the other two sides. In other words, it wasn't square. This is unlike Levi. The Gemara answers in defense of Levi, my oichel nami, the idea of encroaching, that's bedomim, with regard to ability to receive blood. However, according to this response to the Gemara, the yesod was square. It ran around all sides of the mizbeach physically. However, with regard to blood receipt, only we'll say two complete sides and a total of three corners were licensed to receive the blood. Toshma. Hamizbeach hoya shloishim ushtayim al shloishim ushtayim. This is a Tanaic source giving you the dimensions of the mizbeach at the base, and it says that it measured 32 by 32. Superficially, it sounds that was a square, and that's a kasha on Rav. Hocha b'mayaskinon min hatzad. The dimensions given here are giving you the dimensions of the northern and western sides alone. So that the northern side of the mizbeach at the base measured 32, and the northern side of the mizbeach at the base, at the northern side and the western side alone measured 32. But as you would make a measuring of the base at the eastern or southern side, you wouldn't have 32 amos of base over there. Toshma. We have a Tanaic source that is cited in a rather brief fashion. Rashi gives quite a bit of background to this particular source. However, we will be able to take advantage of a diagram shortly before going too much further in the Gemara. The Mizbeach had a ramp leading up to the top of the Mizbeach. The ramp started, of course, on the ground and ascended to the very top of the Mizbeach. And the ramp was on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and that's a point that we must emphasize. The southern side of the Mizbeach is one of the sides that is the subject of the Machlokas Rav and Levi. Being that the ramp reached the top of the Mizbeach, as you neared the top, you would reach a certain point of the ramp that underneath it was what would be the base, if you claim there was a base of the Mizbeach there, and the Sovev is a further indentation in the height of the Mizbeach, a sort of path or rampway that ran around the upper part of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, you can see with the illustration we've included to explain this sugya. The Mizbeach, from a side view, appears at the bottom inside corner of this page. Looking at it from the side, it looks like a skyscraper. Many skyscrapers are constructed like this as well, where it's wide on the bottom and it moves in. There's further insets as you rise in height. So the ramp needing to reach the very top of the Mizbeach at a certain point, and you can see in the illustration, was built over the two possible indentations. We say two if you assume that there was a yesod over there. So now, reading this source, it says, Toshma, Nimtza, Poreach, Al, Amo, Yesod, V'al, Amo, Sovev. The ramp turned out to be, Poreach literally means flying, but in this case, it's built over an Amo of Yesod. And we've dashed underlined this expression because this shows at first glance that there was a base over there on the southern side. And also the ramp overshadowed an Amo of Sovev, the upper inset area of the Mizbeach. That shows us that there was a Yesod on the southern side, along the entire southern side. And this is a problem for Rav. So the Gemara answers in defense of Rav, Emo keneged Amo Yesod, V'al Amo Sovev. There was no Yesod on the southern side, but the ramp, the Kevesh, ran over the Amo that would have been Yesod if you would have continued in your mind's eye. The one Amo of Yesod that was on the southern side, and if you would continue that all the way along the southern side in your mind's eye, that Amo was overshadowed by the ramp, and the ramp ran over the literal Sovev, because even though there may have been no Yesod, there still was Sovev on the southern side. Sovev ran around the entire Mizbeach, according to all opinions. Toshma, the Toni Levi. We have a Tanaic source that's taught by Levi, so of course this Tanaic source, you can well imagine, will be unlike Rav. It's Levi himself is featuring the source. This source will be describing the actual method of construction of the Mizbeach. The beginning of the source contains the main problem, so to speak, for Rav's opinion. You can see it's dashed underlined. Before we read the source itself, you can see that there are diamonds in the source. These are explained on the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, Tat Nosei and Mifneh. Here we've combined, this is a subtopic, Tat That means underneath or subtopic, and mivne, structural note, combined. So you see a diamond position illustrated in the outside margin. This is around the word mevi or mevian. They would bring different. They bring materials of different dimensions. Shortly will be illustrated, and there's a double underline. Vizeh, hu, mokom, etc. And at each stage of the Tanaic source, it will conclude telling you what we just constructed. So we continue in our little introduction. Tiur ech lemaise bonu es hamizbech. There will be a description of how they actually built the mizbech. Milui avonim v'mizgoros. They would fill the stones in frames. There would be wooden frames filled with stones and other materials. Begedelim shonim. The frames were of different sizes. Ze al gabi ze. One frame on top of the next. In other words, once one frame was filled with stones and other materials and coagulated and solidified, then they would build upon that lowermost frame another frame. And fill it with stones and other materials that would eventually coalesce or congeal into a solid mass of a square nature, cubic nature. So we mention here, ze al gabi ze litzor, to form yesoid, sovev. The yesoid would be the bottommost frame, which in fact will measure an amo of height, and then an inner. A frame that was much taller, measuring 5 amos of height, filled with stones, but with a smaller dimension. Smaller dimension in terms of length and width, a much, much greater dimension in terms of height, though. That would form the what's called the sovev. And then, mokoim ma'arocha, above the sovev, a frame measuring 3 amos in height would form eventually the top part of the mizbeach, which is the place the fire was lit. That's the roof of the mizbeach, and we'll term that the mokum hamarocha. V'hakronos. The kronos are 4 cubes, cubic frames measuring 1 amo cube, 1 amo in height, and amo length and width. Each one of these formed a position at the corner of the Mizbeach, 4 corners of the Mizbeach. And if you were to measure the Mizbeach from the ground up to the top of those corners, you had 1 amo of Yesod, 5 amos of Sovev, 3 more amos till the Mokum HaMarocha, and 1 amo for Kronos, a total of 10 amos of height. This, of course, is the Mizbeach that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. Turning to the Tanaic source, Ketzad Boinin Es HaMizbeach Mevi'in Maldein She'u Shloishim Ushtayim Al Shloishim Ushtayim V'govo Amo. We've dashed underlined this because, in truth, this is all we really need to see in this source with regard to our particulars, our sugya, our machloikis, Rav and Levi. Here, there is a description of a frame measuring 32 by 32. In other words, a square. A square frame measuring 32 by 32 amos. The Brisa goes on to tell us, Umevi chaluki avonim mefulamois. They would bring smooth, fresh or wet stones, bain gedolos, bain ktanos. The stones were of all sizes, umevi sid, the kunya vezefes, umemacha veshofech. They would bring plaster and kunya molten lead and zephes pitch, and have them melted down together or soaked together. There are different explanations of what exactly the translation of umemacha is. Rashi himself uses a French word for that. But it eventually, all of these materials, the stones and plaster, molten lead and pitch, were combined and shofech, the shofech, and then spilled into that frame, and would then congeal and coalesce and become a solid mass. V'zehu yesoid. That formed the yesod. What have we described then? We've described a square, 32 by 32. That conforms to Levi's approach. According to Rav, here you can take advantage once again of that aerial picture or diagram of the Mizbeach that's found at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amid Beis. The Yesod section does not appear to be a square whatsoever, according to Rav. So this source presents a challenge to Rav's approach. Continuing in the source itself, Chozer Umevi Malbein Shehu Shloshim Amo Al Shloshim Amo V'Govo Chomesh Amos. They would bring a frame measuring 30 by 30 with a height of 5 amos. Umevi chaluke avonim v'zehu yesoid. V'chozer umevi malbein shehu chofches al chofches amos. That's 28 by 28 amos. V'govo shalosh amos with a height of 3 amos. Umevi chaluke v'chule, etc. Like we mentioned above. V'hu mokom hamarocha. V'chozer umevi malbein shu amo al amo. Umevi chaluki avonim mifulamos bein dos bein tanos. Umevi zefis v'kunyun. Umimacha v'shofech. V'zehu keren. V'chein l'chol keren v'keren. And with that, we describe the building of the corners of the Mizbeach, each one measuring a cubic amo placed at the corners of the top of the Mizbeach. The problem has been raised. V'chitema, and if you try to solve this question by saying degayez lay, that they would, after creating the frame of 32 by 32, they would then cut away the necessary amos strips from the southern side and eastern side, leaving a mere amo of yesod on the southern side, called the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and the northeastern corner, giving you a shape as Rav would like. That could not be. Avonim Shlemos Ksiv. The Pasuk in Dvorim, Perik Chav Zayin Pasuk Vav, we've included this Pasuk on the side of the Gemara. This describes the construction of an altar at the time that the Jews would enter Israel. The Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah that when the Jews entered Israel, they would build a Mizbeach at Har Eval. And from that we learn halachas concerning construction of altars. And it says there, and reading the Pasuk, it says, Uvonisa Shem Mizbeach Lashem Elokecha Mizbeach Avonim Lo Sonif Aleim Barzel. You shall construct a stone altar and do not use metal in its construction. Avonim Shlemos Tivne Es Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. They must be complete stones. Now, if you're going to suggest a chiseling away method in order to form a shape as Rav would dictate, you're going to be in violation of this rule of Avonim Shlemos, of complete stones. The Gemara now answers. We have now an answer in defense of Rav's model. The Taknos say that you see on the outside margin describes this piece of Gemara, Tsuras Benio, the shape of the construction, Kedei Litzor, or the method of construction, Kedei Litzor, Chalolim, Bevinyan HaMizbeach. A method of constructing the Mizbeach using the frames that we saw on Omer Aleph, but a method of construction that will enable us to create, we'll call it air pockets or gaps at the same time, and of course preserving Avonim Shlemos as well. So as we mentioned before, a frame is placed at the bottom measuring an amo in height and 32 by 32 amos. Before pouring in the molten material, the stones and plaster and molten lead, before pouring that into the frame, they would place beams measuring an amo of width, a beam measuring an amo of width on the southern side of the frame, running along the entire southern side, out besides the one amo that was left with the possibility of being filled with the stones. Outside of that, there was a beam running along that side, and a beam placed along the southern side of the Mizbeach with an amo of width. After placing these beams in position, then the mold was filled with the stones and other materials, left to then coalesce, congeal, and eventually, after everything solidified, the beams would be removed, and thereby creating the shape of the shape as desired by Rav, or as dictated by Rav. The Gemara will go on to tell us that this method of creating air pockets, if you will, or gaps, by placing some material or wood material there and then removing it after things solidified, was a necessary procedure with regard to other aspects of the Mizbeach as well. The other aspects, in this particular case, is a reference to the corners of the Mizbeach. We mentioned there were cubic structures at the top of the Mizbeach. Those also had to be with holes in it, air pockets, holes, gaps in it, for the purpose of blood application. The blood was applied to the corners of the Mizbeach, to the chronos of the Mizbeach. The chronos had to absorb the blood. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an application to the corner. It would just run right down. And when we talk about an application, we mean it applied there and stay there. This is alluded to by a pasuk in Zechariah that the Gemara will quote. So how can you have air pockets or gaps in the chronos if you have to have avonim shlemos? So as we just mentioned with regard to the base, this is how they had to have constructed the chronos, by putting little twigs or toothpicks, so to speak, of wood into the molten mass, and eventually those would be removed, leaving holes formed by this method, thereby enabling the chronos to also have air pockets whereby the blood, when applied, would stay there. This is called, in Rashi, calls it a base kibul, a point of retention. Turning to the Gemara, Demochis, this is an answer, we should also note it's a long answer, we have a long answer marking running down the right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a tuf, which indicates a teretz, that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines form the answer that will explain Rav's position. Demochis midi mituse, mochis is to place something, midi, something, place something, mituse, underneath. The shokule, and that something, and we described that before, be wooden beams, would then be removed. The ilo te mahochi, that if you don't subscribe to this method of construction, ha di amar Rav Kahana, that which Rav Kahana teaches, avonim shel chronos chalulois hoyu, the stones forming the corners were hollow, meaning with air spaces, air pockets in it. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, umolu kemizrok kezovios mizbeach. The mizrok is the name of the receptacle that received the blood. So you have a structure, in this case that was a vessel that would receive liquid, and the pasuk says kezovios mizbeach, like the corners of the mizbeach. The corners of Mizbeach then also would have to be have a receiving capacity. Well, Hocha Nami Avonim Shlemos Omer Rachmona. But the Torah already dictated that the stones forming the Mizbeach, including the corners, must be complete. In other words, not chiseled away. So how can you have corners of the Mizbeach having a receptacle capacity, and at the same time being complete stones, not chiseled away? Ela the Machis midi mitusei. Something was placed, and as we mentioned, twigs were placed, or pieces of wood were placed in the molten mass. The shakil lay, and eventually removed, forming little holes that ran at the corners of the mizbeach. Hachinami, so too with regard to the yesod, the mochis midi mitusei. Wooden beams were placed along the sides of the frame, forming the eastern and southern sides of the yesod of the mizbeach. Veshokile, and eventually those were removed. Dorash Rava, Maidichtiv Vayelechu Ushmuel Vayeshvu Benoyos B'Ramah. This pasuk tells of David and Shmuel, David HaMelech and Shmuel, going to sit at Benoyos B'Ramah. Ramah was the name of the city of Shmuel. V'chima inyan Noyos Eitzel Ramah. What is this reference of Noyos, which at first glance seems to be the name of a place, next to Ramah? What does one have to do with the other? Ela, so the real explanation is, Shehoyu Yoshvin B'Ramah, David and Shmuel sat together in Shmuel's town of Ramah, V'oiskin B'Noyoy Shel Olam, and they were involved with the glory, the beauty, or the glory of the world. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. They were sitting together determining where the Beis HaMikdash shall be built based on psukim in the Torah. The Torah itself doesn't give an explicit geographical location for the Beis HaMikdash. One has to analyze the psukim in order to determine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent was with regard to the location of the Beis HaMikdash. To analyze why this was so, why doesn't the Torah simply give a specific geographic location, is a subject of interest in and of itself. As far as the Gemara is concerned, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Chishuvim, calculations, Shel David Ushmuel, Kedei Legalois, in order to reveal Hamokim Haroi Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara will now describe how they calculated or determined where the Beis HaMikdash should be. So the Gemara goes on, Amri, they said, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Divrei Rivois Bishorecha, the Kamto V'Olisa Al Hamokim. The Pasuk describes a situation where there would be some type of legal dispute, and eventually the disputants would arise and go up to the place. This place is a reference to the Sanhedrin HaGodol, who sat in the Beis HaMikdash. Melamed she Beis HaMikdash govoya mikol Eretz Yisrael. This pasuk tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was the highest point in Israel. The next phrase is in a brackets, albeit it has its own meaning and significance, but that which appears in the brackets is not based on this pasuk of Vekamta V'Yalisa. That having been said, it goes on to say in the brackets, Ve'eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol ha'arotzos. This idea that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other lands has its own independent source, and Rashi quotes that, but that that point is not learned from this pasuk. Hence, we put it in brackets. So the pasuk of the Kamta Valisa Lamokom is the source for the Beis Hamikdash being Gavoah Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Lo havi yadi duchtei hecha. But they, David and Shmuel, didn't know where it was. Isu Sefer Yoshua. So they brought the book of Joshua, which describes the allocation, the distribution of the land of Israel to the different tribes. Bekulu Ksiv Vayered Ve'olo Hagvul Vatar Hagvul. With regard to the others, the other tribes, it mentions describes the borders of the different tribes, and it says that the border descended and rose and turned. B'shevet Binyamin ve'oloksiv v'yerid loksiv. But with regard to the tribe of Binyamin, we see rising and we don't see descent. Amri, they concluded Shmami nohochahu makomo. That if you see only rising and no descent, that indicates something of that it is the highest. There's no descent, so it must be that this is the place. Savur lemivne be'ein etam demadli. They figured, well, in the section of Binyamin, there's a place called Ein Etam demadli, which is very high. So it must be that this is Ein Etam is the place for the Beis Hamikdash, being the highest point in Israel. Amri, but they then figured we can't build the Beis Hamikdash at Ein Etam. Nitzi Bay Kolil, we've got to find a place a bit lower, of a slightly lesser altitude. Kidichtiv, because there's another description of divine presence, and it says Ubeng Seifav Shachain, it shall dwell between the shoulders. In other words, like a head which is set upon a body, the shoulders rise higher than the point at which the head is set into the body. We're not talking about the top of the head right now, but we're talking about where the bottom of the head is positioned, is attached to a body. It's between the shoulders. And the shoulders represent a point a bit higher. So the Beis Hamikdash had to be at a rather high location, but surrounded by hills. Hence, Ein Etam was not the final place for the Beis Hamikdash to be located, but as we know very well, on Har Abayis of Jerusalem, which in fact has hills surrounding it. Viboy Seima, another explanation of why Ein Etam was not chosen as the site. Gemiri, there's a tradition. The Sanhedrin bechelko de Yehuda, u'shchina bechelko de Binyamin. The Sanhedrin had to be located in Yehuda's section, and the divine presence, a reference to the Beis Hamikdash, had to be in the portion received by Binyamin. The E Madlinon lay, and if you were to have it placed at Ein Etam, which is very high, that very high location, Mispalig Tuva, there would be a too great a gap between the location of the Beis Hamikdash with regard to the Sanhedrin. They would be too far apart, because they're also dimension boundaries with regard to the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. And if you would have structured the Beis Hamikdash in Ein Etam, it wouldn't have reached the area of Yehuda. And hence, we would have had a problem of the Sanhedrin not being located next to or attached to the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, Mutav Denitzi Bay Porta. Therefore, it's better for us to find a slightly lower location for the Beis Hamikdash, closer to the border of the tribe of Yehuda. Kilichtiv Uvein Ksefov Shochein. As we saw in the pasuk before, that it shall dwell between the shoulders, so to speak, as we described earlier, with hills around it. The al dover ze niskane doig ha'domi bedavid. Regarding this matter, doig ha'domi was jealous of David. This matter, meaning the the dedication that David HaMelech showed to the building of the Beis HaMikdash and determining its location, this was a source of jealousy of Doeg. Kirchtiv, the pasuk says, Ki kinas beischa achalosni. The word kina is a reference to jealousy. Uksiv, Zachor Hashem l'David, es kol unoso. This is a section of Gemara that will feature a number of psukim strung together, so we're calling this a long pasuk citation, and you can see the length is indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. David HaMelech is bemoaning, so to speak, the trials and tribulations that he went through, and in the strain he went through to in his dedication to determine the location of the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, "Zechor Hashem leDavid es kol unoso asher nishba l'Hashem im avoy be'oil beisi im etein shnas li'enai la'afapoy tenuma ad emso mokoyim l'Hashem." So far, the pasuk is psukim are telling us that David swore not to sleep in his house, not to enjoy his own house, until he found the place for the Beis HaMikdash. That's the end of the string of psukim from Tehillim Perek Lamed Beis, psukim Aleph through Vav. The pasuk just mentioned Ephrosa, so Be'ephrosa ze Yehoshua, Deka'osim Ephraim. Be'ephrosa is a reference to Yehoshua, who came from the tribe of Ephraim, Ephrosa associated with Ephraim. Mitzanua b'steyar ze Binyamin. How is this a reference to Binyamin? The pasuk itself we found in the fields of the forests. Ze Binyamin, dechtiv Binyamin zev Yitrof. The Marsha explains that the pasuk about Binyamin, which describes him as a wolf, wolves are found in forests, and they emerge often from forests into fields where animals are grazing to find their prey. So we saw before how David HaMelech used Sefer Yehoshua in order to determine the location of the Beis HaMikdash, which was found in the section of Binyamin. The Mishnah. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor v'Hashamois. The Shalmei Tzibor is a reference to Kivsei Atzeres. These are sheep offerings that were brought on Shavuos as a public Korban Shlomim. So the Mishnah features those, the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor and the Korban Osham, Elu Hein Ashamos. The Mishnah now enumerates the different types of Korban Osham that we have. Osham Gezelos, the Osham Ilos, Osham Shifcha Harufa, Osham Nazir, Osham Mitzora, Osham Tolui. Exactly what the reason or the situation of each Osham is brought can be found by looking in Rashi and the Chumash. Anyway, these Korbonos, Shchitasam Batsafon, their slaughtering was to be done in the northern part of the Azora, the Kibol Domon Bichli Shores, Batsafon, and the receipt of their blood shall be also in the northern part into a service vessel. The Domonton Shtei Matona Shein Arba, the blood applications were done on two corners of the Mizbeach, which the two corners were responsible for four applications, or we could say for four sides, as we've described on previous occasions. V'nechol nufnim min akloyim l'zichri kuhuna l'chol maichol l'yoyim v'laylo ad chatzos, and they would be eaten by the male koyhanim in any way of prep. They can be eaten in any different form of preparation, not like the Korban Pesach, which was limited to roasting. And liyom v'laylo, there was the day and the following night to eat it, and that night, not all of the night, just until ad chatzos, until midnight. With that, we complete our shiur for today.